Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Good morning. Well, I'm focusing again this morning on Isaiah 61, which is the passage of Scripture where the Lord said, when he stood up in the synagogue and said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord, his Father, has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those that are bound. And then he continued on. And, of course, he was saying that this particular reality was what he was anointed to do when he was on earth. And we know now that he's transferred that anointing to us, the body of Christ. This is still his priority in the earth, and he's doing it through his church, his bride, his body. And so this is a priority to God. Whenever we live life, often we live life and we know that there's ditches on both sides of the narrow path. You know, Jesus said that the path is narrow to life. And the narrow path is often a path that we wouldn't fully choose if we were trying to logically work it out in our minds. It's not the path that we would typically choose. The narrow path is not the path of ease, because the narrow path is constantly going to challenge your fleshly behavior, no matter what it is. And so as we live life like that, often we end up in ditches for periods of time in our life on both sides of that path. But God's leadership plan exists in the Isaiah 61 mandate. That never changes for him. So Jesus, when God releases his Holy Spirit upon the body of Christ, it's to preach good tidings to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those that are bound. And then, of course, the rest of Isaiah 61, part of it is an end time mandate to proclaim justice and so on and so forth. And so God is asking us, if we were to sit down with Jesus, this is how I think about things like this, and we would say, what is on your heart today? What would you want us to focus on right now? You know, those kind of things. There's several places in Scripture that you could bring into focus. You know, the first commandment would be obviously where Jesus would have you focus personally, the first commandment. And so, but this, you know, what Jesus would focus us on and what we would want to focus on are often not the same reality, because we often, our hearts are tied to different passions or different things. A lot of it is good. A lot of it is part of the kingdom of God, or has some structure of it. But often our passions are what motivates us or what makes us happy and so on and so forth isn't exactly the deep things of God, what God is saying. Because the deep things of God require, you know, going for 100% obedience in the grace of God. That means you have to give up a lot of stuff to get there, is the idea. And so God's leadership plan in the nations is to make disciples. We know that from the Great Commission. Part of that is to understand the core of his leadership plan. Sometimes we pray for the stuff, the gifts of the body of Christ, the things that are poured out, and you know, the things that we want to see, like miracles. We pray for that. Then we see a miracle, and we're super excited, and we rejoice. But what happens after the miracle? What happens after the brokenhearted are healed? What happens after the good tidings are preached to the poor and that we proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to those that are bound? What happens after that? What happens after God moves on somebody? And that's the idea of making disciples of all nations, is what God is saying. But part of the value system of the Great Commission is what's happening individually in the hearts of every believer. In Isaiah 61, he's talking about healing the brokenhearted. But what is he doing by healing the brokenhearted? What is God producing? Of course, we know that he's producing voluntary lovers. That's where the body of Christ is going to go. He wants you to voluntarily love him. He won't make you do anything. But on a personal level, that means vastly different things for all of us. What does it look like for you to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? And what does it look like for me to love God with all my heart, soul, and strength? I mean, we might end up at the same place down the road, but God has taken us in such different strategies and paths, but often we're not fully focusing on the value system of the Isaiah 61 mandate. The bottom line is that he's after the affections of your heart. In everything, the biggest vision that God has is he wants your heart affections at the end of the day. Now, if I talk to somebody and I say, what's your life vision? Most often, if you think about that for a little bit, some people don't have a life vision. Some people are barely hanging on and just getting through life, right? Some people feel constantly attacked and they're just, you know, trying to put one foot in front of the other. Some people feel more confident and they would say their life vision is a manifestation of a job or work or ministry, you know, that they have this vision about what their life will look like when everything is fully flowing or you get to some certain point. And they have this life vision, and often it's in what you're doing for God. But God's life vision is vastly different than what you're doing for him. He's after the affections of your heart. And I want to turn to Song of Solomon, chapter 2. And I'm going to go directly to verse 4. And just one part of that verse, it says, he brought me to his banqueting house, or his table. He brought me to his banqueting table, and his banner over me was love. Now, we know from Song of Solomon, remember when Jerry used to teach and all that kind of stuff, this is how the body of Christ, or the bride of Christ, is relating to Jesus and his leadership. And what the bride is saying is, he brought me to his banqueting house or his banqueting table, and his banner over me was love. The value system of Isaiah 61, by healing your heart, the reason God makes you alive is not so that he produces some powerful, anointed person, you know, a man or a woman, and then they can carry on their gifts in God and become famous and become visible and do all these extraordinary things. That can be all part of our destiny. But it's not that. That is not his purpose. His purpose, his leadership over you, his banner over you, is it means his leadership over you. His leadership over you is love. That's his end goal. He brings you to a banqueting table. And in Psalms it says, you know, a table in the midst of our enemies. That's exactly what he's doing. He wants to bring you to this place where you are feasting on what he's given you. You're feasting on him. You're feasting on the reality of what God says about you. And then you start to experience his love. And then you make that your primary vision in life. That's what God's actually after. That's why the first commandment is so entirely 100% wholehearted. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. That leaves nothing out ever at any point. And at one point, does that become just kind of like, man, that's, you know, let's not get too intense. Let's not get too legalistic about this issue. You know, let's talk about growing in our gifts and doing those kind of things. That is a good reality. We have to have training and equipping for every part of functioning of the kingdom of God in ministry and so on and so forth. But the idea is that God's mission statement for you personally by healing your broken heart is so that you partake of at the banqueting table that he's placed before you in the midst of your enemies, and you're feasting on whatever he's given you. And the idea is that becomes your sole sustenance in life. And the idea is that you're going to get carried away there. And so all Jesus' mission in your life is to get you to partake of his love. His banner over you is love. That's his ultimate expression of reality. That means it doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter what your occupation is. It doesn't matter any other thing that our social status or our American culture or our humanity tells us our position is. Whatever justice or injustices any justice we've received or injustice that we've lived under, it doesn't matter what it is, because God's banqueting table is there for you. And his banner over you is love. Now that is attacked significantly. There's many believers that go all the way through life and they had never even considered this proposition in God. They've gotten saved. They've gotten into churchianity. They just live life like just in the model of whatever church they're attending, and they don't go beyond this. Sometimes it's because they don't know to go beyond it. Sometimes it's because they don't know what God's actually asking of them. And so they kind of just live life and not understanding God's greatest plan in for them. In the ancient world, an army would march in battalions under a specific flag or banner. Each unit had their own banner that was meant to clearly identify them. The banner or flag over our life that identifies who we are and where we're going in our life is Jesus' good leadership, wise, loving, and powerful. It leads us to grow in love and in our identity as his inheritance, which is the bride of Christ. Now, don't forget this powerful reality. Jesus has two inheritances coming to him up into the second coming. In Psalm chapter 2, he's going to inherit the nations of the world under the Father's leadership, all the way through the Battle of Armageddon and the second coming. The second inheritance is the body of Christ, Ephesians 1, 17, 18, and 19, that you'd have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus so that your eyes of your heart would open up and you would see the hope of your calling, that you are his inheritance, is the second component there. God wants you to have a revelation of Jesus Christ so you understand that what can an uncreated God that's lived in glory, eternity past, manifested himself, his son, as a human being. What does he desire? What is his inheritance? You. But he doesn't just want you to get saved, although that's important to him. He doesn't want you to just get saved and come to heaven. He actually is moved by the movement of your heart. And if you have no focus ability about the love of God in your everyday life, the times when suddenly you're a little bit tempted as you're going through life on a normal basis and all of a sudden you recognize, man, I'm getting tempted, and then you go, you know what, not today, I'm not doing it today. You don't realize how powerfully that moves God's heart. But if you start focusing in on the idea that the banner over you is love, you're going to start realizing that every time you make a personal decision before God in that manner, that you are touching his heart, because he's going to start showing you the back and forth that he has with you on a personal level. Jesus has a good and specific plan for every believer. He wants us to bring us to his banqueting house where we celebrate his love. His primary goal in his leadership over our life is to bring us to the banqueting house to celebrate his love for us and our love for him. We may not know the details as to where Jesus is leading our ministries or what we're called to do or employment, but make no mistake about it. He's first leading us so that we feed at the banqueting table or the wedding table. Now, the fullest fulfillment of the banqueting table is going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's where the full fulfillment is going to be. But in this life, just like in any part of his kingdom, we have his kingdom now living in us, so we can partake of it. Jesus wants us to be strengthened in the revelation that we're his inheritance and our primary identity is being a lover of God. This occurs as he feeds us on his word related to the wedding table. He may bring us to the table by giving us a dream or a vision that excites our heart about his love, or he may give us the joy of a new friendship that ministers God's life to our heart, or you might have one of those revelation times where you're alone with him and suddenly you recognize something. But the idea is he's always calling you there. Sometimes he calls you there in the midst of your greatest crucibles. When you feel rejected or you're challenged and things aren't going well, I guarantee you this. When you start life out or you have a massive prophetic word and God says you're going to be doing this in the nations or you're going to be doing this or doing that, it never comes about like you're thinking it's going to. It just never does. And a lot of people have broken hearts because their hope is deferred because they're not seeing movement out here about who they are in God. Let me just suggest something today. Sometimes God will frustrate you out here because he's calling your attention to this reality right here. He is not going to lose his people because he wants you to have your full sustenance in life at his banqueting table that he's prepared for you in the midst of your enemies. That means that your full joy, your happiness and everything is not dependent on others. It is from you recognizing that the God of the universe wants to have that personal relationship with you right in this place right there. That is God's full vision. His banner over you is love. His banner over you isn't enormous anointing, although that could be part of it. It doesn't matter what you're doing or what challenge you're in life. This reality is for everyone at any time, and he's going to always call you back there. He brings us to the table using both positive and negative ways because he's jealous to remove everything that hinders love in us. First, the positive way, involuntary following his leadership to the banqueting house by feeding on obeying his word. That's the positive, meaning you have total free will to do this. And so what happens a lot is people go, you know, my relationship with the word is this or that, and, you know, I have struggled with it. You know, I'm not worshiping like I used to. I don't know what's happening. The idea is this. If you are really struggling in those particular areas, you have to recognize what the enemy's doing, number one. But number two, you do not want to make peace with lukewarmness at all. This is intense in the spirit. If you're struggling to read the word, you got to ache over that. You got to take notice about it. You got to pray about it. You got to ask people to pray for you or so on and so forth. It's not something to just take lightly and go, well, whatever. Because our natural process when we are attacked in the spirit is just to go cold of things. If you're lukewarm today, it's not something that you go, well, I'm just waiting for God to do something about it. No, you want to make it serious. Like this is like if you had cancer in your body or something. You know, it's not something that you just kind of play around with. You want to, you know, try to take care of it. You want to, you know, try to go somewhere, get it diagnosed, find out what your options are about. But often people or believers are living life in spiritual lethargy, and they don't care about that. It's time to care about those kind of things. We're living in a highly deceptive time in the body of Christ and in the world. It is a danger zone out there. It really is. I mean, you can't stress it enough. And there's people out there that often will say, you're just so legalistic, you know, just enjoy the grace of God. Well, the idea is the banqueting table. Because when you're feasting on his word, you're going back to the banqueting table. You're finding this reality where God's leadership is over you in this way. Second, the negative way is seen in resisting his leadership as he seeks us to take us to that banqueting table. He is forced to discipline us by exposing our sin, taking things from us, and shutting doors that frustrate us. Now, the idea is that God's leadership in your life, that's why sometimes people are, you know, they're frustrated with this or that or this or leadership or church or boss, employment, spouse, family, I mean, just all the above. There's a frustration there. And some of that is because God is going to allow that frustration so that you return to choose what is essential for you in His leadership, and that it's His love, partaking back there again. Now, I see this all the time in marriage and in, you know, in counseling and all that kind of thing. It's often, you know, let's just say a couple comes in for marriage and they start talking and both of them have vastly different views about what's happening. Sometimes it's night and day and they just have different feelings about the same subject, and that's just how it always is. People see things differently. And they're talking about this thing, but I often hear this, and I used to do this, so it's real easy. And this is our default position in life. We often think if somebody in my life would just be fixed or change or get better, then I would be peaceful. And all their energy is pointed in that direction. It's always trying to change something out here so that I feel better about life or myself or so on and so forth. And these intricacies, we all do this in some form or another. But the idea is that God's highest plan for you is no matter what crucible you're living in, no matter what furnace you find yourself in, relationship or whatever's going on in your life, that you can still be peaceful if no one else around you changes at all. And the reason is because that's the freedom of the gospel. That is healing your brokenhearted. That is the fullest empowerment you'll ever find, is when you become peaceful and no one else changes. Does that make sense? The beauty of this is if you change your heart and you submit yourself to God and you start finding that place of peace and your spouse or somebody else around you isn't changing, they are going to change naturally because you've just changed dramatically. You quit playing a part of the pattern. And so the idea is every morning you wake up and say, nobody's responsible for me but me. Nobody can control my peace. Nobody's behavior can shift me off my lifestyle of peace or partaking at the banqueting table, because His banner over me is love. And if you live that way, you're living a far above normal reality in our culture. Because so much of our culture is trying to change somebody else, trying to resist something or control something or do something so that I feel better about myself in life. You know, that's the idea. It's so freeing when you stop living that way. And that's the freedom of the gospel. That is what God's calling you to by understanding the banner over you is love. His ideal way to do this is that you find out so much how much He loves you, who you are to Him, what your identity is in Him in love, that you're just not moved by anybody else, no matter what. You know, I have this sometimes. My bad mood can put a lot of other people in my family in a bad mood, okay? But what I'm starting to realize is that I can also change the mood in my family if I come home and I just start being happy, okay? But what I'm trying to do now is live my life so that when others in my family are in a bad mood, it doesn't shift me at all. That I'm the one carrying peace into every situation, getting maybe nothing in return. That's God's highest calling for His people. That's a benefit of the banqueting table. That's the reality. And so to walk life this way is what God's calling us to. I tell my daughter that, you know, I'm always telling her to live above the fray. I'm trying to teach her, you know, at her age, you know, a young teenager, to just live above the fray. Don't enter into the emotional drama of the day. Because, you know, maybe at that age you can have highs and lows all day long, you know. And the idea is just don't be emotionally independent because you're so secure in what God says about you or his love for you. Isn't that a glorious reality? I mean, we got to quit talking about this stuff and we got to start living it. It is absolutely essential, and the only way we can do that is I got Denny on my side here. I'm with you, Denny. Is this reality is that we can't force ourselves into this. We can't just change overnight, but the idea is when you are partaking at the banqueting table, the revelation you receive from God about who you are empowers your heart to stand in that place. You can't do this on your own. You have to do this by submitting to God. The bride of Christ is the great prize of all ages to Jesus, that your life on earth here and the transformation you undergo by what you're choosing in God. Now we all choose what we want in God. You know, we got to make that crystal clear as well. You go as far as in God as you want to go. Meaning, it's just kind of like, I don't know how to explain this, but whatever decisions you're making on a personal level is how far you go with God. Some people say, well, doesn't God come along sometimes and do a sovereign work in my life? Absolutely. Sometimes he will sovereignly empower somebody. But often the reason he's doing that is because he has gifts on your life that he wants to flow through to others. But that's still not about your personal heart. I have this feeling that as we move into the end of the age, God is done anointing people and losing them to the anointing. He is going to absolutely develop this, and I have this feeling that he restrains people to the point until they understand that this is their full sustenance. So if somebody gets anointed and suddenly gets, you know, a different lifestyle and they're going to the nations and you know, a huge ministry explodes or something of that nature, that they don't care so much about that. They care about the end of the night going and spending time with God in the hotel room. They don't care about who's clicking their Facebook page. They don't care about who cares this or that, because the idea of you finding this place in love before God at the banqueting table is that when people overpraise you, it won't affect you. And when people really reject you for the gospel's sake, it won't affect you anymore. God spoke to me this past week, and he said some of any type of personal rejection that I've had in life up to this point, you know, when I was growing up, you know, I was a loner kid a lot. And, you know, there's just different types of rejection. We all have that at some point. The difference to me now is he said, I'm using that because I'm making that for your good, that personal rejection. Meaning a lot of that was painful. Some of you have had really painful rejection. But the idea is that he's using that if you give it to him, so to speak, at the banqueting table, and he empowers your heart, and suddenly any rejection you get in the future just doesn't affect you anymore because he's turned around and healed you and used it for his good. And I felt like that's what God said. In this season, I'm turning the corner with a lot of those type of things. But the only prerequisite to this is that you choose this. Now, how do you choose this? Michael, you can come on up. How do you choose this reality? And it's quite simply this: you have to begin to entertain yourself. Doesn't sound right. You have to begin to trust that God's leadership over you is love, far above what you're doing. That you relax your heart in this reality that your personal time with God is the banqueting table. And when you start giving your lifestyle to that reality, making time for it, and I'm talking about if we're doing this now and we're trying to be serious about it, it means that we can't just talk about it in a sermon. You know, it's the same thing for me. I'm being absolutely stretched in these realities. I mean, I've found in life, like I was doing a bit of driving yesterday, and I just started thinking about my life, and I realized what a massive distraction a lot of things in my life are. They're so frivolous compared to eternal realities. And I'm just thinking, how did that happen? How did that happen? I mean, I'm around people where you can't hide. You know, if you come in and you're having a bad day, you know, Bob often, he knows exactly, you know, what's going on. I can tell something's bugging you. I mean, it's just you can't hide. Or Londa, or, you know, others, Denny, you know, it's just the idea is that you just can't hide. But the idea is also that what am I doing at home? What am I actually focusing on? How am I parenting my kids? And why did I allow this to happen? And why has it been 2 years since I've even thought of this? That is the nature of the spiritual war we're living in. Is the minute that you just get a little bit off the narrow path, you might have 1 foot on it and 1 foot off, but you can go 2 years in a blink. That's why if you're having trouble with the Word of God, we need to ache over that. If you're having trouble praying, we need to ache over it. If you have trouble spending time with God, you need to ache over it. And I understand the other realities of enjoying the grace of God, but I'm telling you, sometimes we just try to enjoy the grace of God so much that the disciplines that we're trying to focus on are just going by the wayside anymore. I mean, I understand what it's like to, you know, lose yourself in entertainment or to soothe your soul by all these kind of things. But the idea is how many years have gone by before we even tried to address these things? And that's what God is calling us to. And you know what? He does it much better than me. He calls you in love still because he wants you at that banqueting table. He wants you to be established there. I always tell people that I meet with from time to time that God's doing 10 different things at once in your life. And some of the things that your current crucible is producing is stuff that God's doing for you for 10 years down the road. Because he wants to produce that life in you. He knows where you're going. He knows what he's anointed you to. He knows your giftings. But his primary focus is you experiencing and enjoying his love on a personal level. So that nobody can control you with their emotions, their behavior, their words. That you're sitting in this place of divine peace and stability. Because you've learned that no matter what anybody says about you or what anybody's doing, you've learned to set your expectations down at the altar before God, and you have learned to listen to what he says about you. And I'm telling you, he will grow you up fast in that reality. But sometimes you got to fight to get into that place. So Lord, we ask you to help us right now, God. Help us find that place right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Just wait in his presence right now. Spirit, we ask even now, everyone personally, Lord, I ask that you'd begin to reveal something that's hindering your love right now. Ask you for strategies in dealing with that. We ask you for grace, an empowerment of grace. Lord, I ask for this room today that you would baptize all of us in the grace to turn from things that hinder love. I just feel like God is saying, no more. I think there's some in the room that have made peace with negative emotions. I feel like some have struggled with anxiety. God has tremendous compassion for you. But I just feel like you are not an anxious person to God. And I feel like God wants you to know that. And He wants you to understand that He's going to walk you out of anxiety. I feel the same for depressive emotions. And the feelings of failure. I feel like God is turning the corner with those things. And so I want to speak directly to depression today. The depressive behaviors, the despair, the suicidal thinking. We speak directly to that right now in Jesus' name and the authority He's given us. And we throw it out of this room in Jesus' name. We throw it off the souls of people that have had long-term depressive emotions in their lives. You are not a depressed person. In Jesus' holy name, you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You are a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of Jesus Christ in your spirit. So, Lord, we just command all the depressive emotions to just flee from this place in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just feel for some of those people, I'm not asking for hands or anything. I just want to say that some of those people, if that is you, God wants to talk to you about your depression. He wants you to come to that banqueting table, and He's going to just break it apart. What feels like hopeless, He's going to turn it around in a moment. He wants to just have conversations with you. He doesn't care what the medical community has said to you. He does not care what somebody says that you are this way and you're going to be this way your whole life. That is not true in the grace of God. When we stand at the banqueting table and we partake of God there, we get all the miracle benefits of His kingdom. That's what He's doing. It's a lifeline from heaven. He begins to heal you, mind, body, soul, and spirit. But nobody can make you go there. But I feel like God wants to talk to those with those type of hindering emotions. Despair, I feel like God is targeting despair in this season. Now, some of you don't have despair a lot, but all of a sudden, one day, all of a sudden, you'll be feeling it intensely. And you wonder what that is. God's talking to you too. We are going to be a people, the body of Christ, that walks in joy unspeakable. But we have to have that processed in our soul by our decision making for God on an intimate place. I'm telling you, we can talk all day long and go back and just do the same things at home. I can preach this and go home and do the exact same thing of, you know, I'm always doing. And however I escape. But the idea is we have to start choosing God now in this season. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just Father, just bless your people today in Jesus' name.
As we're getting ready to be dismissed, awesome time of worship, awesome time of receiving the word this morning, and really take it, hold on to it, and move in it. Let God do what He needs to do. But I want to bring up something as we're closing out here today. Scott and Deb, you knew Deb. She was in the wheelchair, some of you, for a long time. And Deb went home to be with the Lord. And Scott has been going through a lot. We've been praying for Scott. And there's a need for some help in funeral expenses. And as a family, I want to come alongside and help out. And so I just put, we got Roy in the back, and we've got some baskets in the back. And if you can give something to help them out as an offering, maybe God will tell you something this week to help Scott out, to take care of this debt and the funeral. And that's what a family needs to do. We need to help and come alongside in times like this. And Deb was one who always, years ago, you guys had no idea all the things that she did. She would run sound. She'd carry music equipment. She did so much. And she's been in the ministry for a long time. So if we can do that on your way out and just put something in the basket to help Scott during this time, that'd be great. But let me just pray one more time. Lord, we just thank you for today, for the word. We thank you for worship. We thank you for your truth, and we want to align ourselves with the reality of your word. We want to walk in that value, God, that you have for us. What your word says, what your love says about us. God, I thank you for the men and the women that are here, the family that's here, the desire that's here. As we fast and pray, God, we just ask for you to just break in and have your way with us. Bless Scott, God, during this time as he draws near to you. And we thank you for family. We thank you for the blessing of family. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Go in peace. And again, this Tuesday, I'll be speaking on spiritual warfare and talking about what is our reality and what reality do we live in Jesus' name. Be blessed.